Chapter 4: The Law of Reproduction. 686. Is the reproduction of living beings a law of nature? Evidently it is. Without reproduction the corporeal world would perish. 687. If the population of the globe goes on increasing as it has hitherto done, will it, in course of time, become too numerous? No, the divine overruling always provides for, and maintains, equilibrium. God permits nothing useless. Man sees but a corner of the panorama of the universe, and is therefore unable to perceive the harmony of its various departments. 688. There are at this moment upon the earth races of men who are evidently and rapidly diminishing. Will they eventually disappear from it? Yes, but it is because others will have taken their place, as your place will someday be taken by others. 689. Are the men now upon the earth the new creation, or the improved descendants of the primitive human beings? They are the same spirits, come back to improve themselves with the aid of new bodies, but who are still very far from having reached perfection. Thus the present human race, which, by its increase, tends to invade the whole earth and to replace the races that are dying out, will have its period of decrease and disappearance. It will be replaced by other and more perfect races, which will descend from the present race, as the civilized men of the present day are descended from the rough-hewn savages of the primitive periods. 690. Regarded from a purely physical point of view, are the bodies of the present race of men a special creation, or have they proceeded from the bodies of the primitive races by reproduction? The origin of races is hidden in the night of time, but as they all belong to the great human family, whatever may have been the primitive root of each, they have been able to form alliances with one another, and thus to produce new types. 691. What, from a physical point of view, is the distinctive and dominant characteristic of primitive races? The development of brute force at the expense of intellectual power. The contrary takes place at the present day, for man now acts rather through his intelligence than through his bodily strength, and yet he accomplishes a hundredfold more than he formerly did, because he has learned to avail himself of the forces of nature, which the animals cannot do. 692. Is the improvement of the vegetable and animal races, through the applications of science, contrary to the law of nature? Would it be more conformable with that law to leave them to follow their normal course? It is the duty of all beings to concur, in every way, in helping forward the general progress, and man himself is employed by God as an instrument for the accomplishment of his ends. Perfection being the aim towards which everything in nature is tending, to help forward this process of improvement is to assist in working out the divine intentions. But man, in his efforts to ameliorate the races of the lower reigns, is generally moved by self-interest, and has no other aim than the increase of his personal enjoyments. Does not this diminish the merit of his action? What matters it that his merit should be null, provided the work of progress be accomplished? It is for him to render his labor meritorious by inspiring himself with a noble motive. Besides, in effecting these ameliorations, he develops his intelligence, and it is in this way that he derives the greatest benefit from his labor. 693. Are the human laws and customs that have been established for the purpose of placing obstacles in the way of reproduction contrary to the laws of nature? Whatever hinders the operations of nature is contrary to the general law. But there are many species of living beings, animal and vegetable, the unlimited reproduction of which would be hurtful to other species, and would soon be destructive of the human race. Is it wrong for man to arrest their reproduction? God has given to man, over all the other living beings of his globe, a power which he ought to use for the general good, but not to abuse. He may regulate reproduction according to his needs, but he ought not to hinder it unnecessarily. The intelligent action of mankind is a counterpoise established by God for restoring the equilibrium of the forces of nature, and herein, again, man is distinguished from the animals, because he does this understandingly, while the animals, that also concur in maintaining this equilibrium, do so unconsciously, through the instinct of destruction which has been given to them, and which causes them, while providing for their own preservation only, to arrest the excessive development of the animal and vegetable species on which they feed, and which would otherwise become a source of danger. 694. What is to be thought of usages intended to arrest reproduction in the interest of sensuality? They prove the predominance of the body over the soul, and show 110 w deeply man has plunged himself in matter. 695. Is marriage, that is to say, the permanent union of two beings, contrary to the law of nature? It is a progress arrived at by the human race. 696. What would be the effect, upon human society, of the abolition of marriage? A return to the life of the beasts. 697. Is the absolute indissolubility of marriage to be found in the law of nature, or is it only an ordination of human law? It is a human law, altogether contrary to the law of nature. But men may change their laws, those of nature are alone unchangeable. 698. Is voluntary celibacy meritorious in the sight of God? No, those who live single from selfish motives are displeasing to God, for they fail to perform their share of social duties. 699. Is not celibacy, on the part of some persons, a sacrifice made by them for the sake of devoting themselves more entirely to the service of humanity? That is a very different thing, I said, from selfish motives. Every sort of personal sacrifice is meritorious when it is made for a good end, and the greater the sacrifice, the greater the merit. 700. Is polygamy or monogamy most in conformity with the law of nature? Polygamy is a human institution, the abolition of which marks an era of social progress. Marriage, according to the intention of God, should be founded on the affection of the beings who enter into it. In polygamy there is no real affection, there is only sensuality. 701. Is the almost exact numerical equality existing between the sexes an indication of the proportions according to which they ought to be united? Yes, for every arrangement of nature has a specific purpose,